Rita describes the sentiment of the gopis of Vrindavan, when they are praying to Krishna, that you sent Uddhava from Mathura with the message that we should meditate on you, and that you are always present in our hearts. But we are not yogis. We do not know how to follow this system of Astanga. We are simple cowherd girls. Why do you torture us by giving us such an instruction? Do not you understand that we are drowning in the unfathomable ocean of separation? We are being swallowed by the timangilla fish of our aspiration to serve you? It is said that the mind and the heart are one, but our mind could never leave Vrindavan, because that is your favorite place. That is the place that you are happiest. So please, come again and place your lotus feet in Vrindavan and save our lives. When we see the face of Nanda and Yashoda and the cowherd boys and the gopis, our hearts break to see them suffering. Do you want to kill them? Do you want to torture them? Or do you want to save them by coming back to Vrindavan? It was in this mood that Ratha-yatra was manifested. From Kurukshetra, the gopis in their hearts were pulling Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra back to Vrindavan. When Uddhava came to Vrindavan and he saw the gopis' feelings of separation, their total absorption in Krishna, he realized that although I am practically constantly in Krishna's presence as his dearest friend in Dwarka, I have no devotion whatsoever compared to the residents of Vrindavan. And he prayed to be a blade of grass or a creeper in Braj Mandala, so that the gopis may step on his head with their lotus feet. Being a prince and themselves being simple cowherd maids, he could not embarrass them by taking dust from their feet. So he prayed to be a shrub in Vrindavan with the hope that someday they would walk upon his head. And then in that association, he may get a glimpse of their love for Krishna. So why did Krishna not return to Vrindavan after so many long years in Mathura and Dwarka? Sridhar Swami, Jiva Goswami, they explain how Krishna is very much conquered by the love of his devotees. The Yadus had deep and pure love for him, although it was hardly a drop compared to the ocean of the love of the Brijavasis. Still, that love that they had was very powerful. And every time Krishna wanted to go to Vrindavan, they prevented him from going because they knew the power of the Brijavasi love. If he goes and sees how much they suffered in separation, he'll never be able to leave them again. And then what will happen to us and our children and our whole dynasty? We have to preserve it for him. So Krishna remained in Dwarka. But Lord Balaram, he understood and could feel in his heart the plight of the residents of Vrindavan. And although there's nothing more difficult for Balaram than to leave the company of Krishna, he was willing to suffer that separation just to try to pacify the Brijavasis. So he boarded his chariot and traveled to Vrindavan, Nanda Gokul. When he arrived, how happy everyone was. What a celebration. After so many long decades and decades, Balaram has returned. Yashoda and Nanda and the elderly cowherd men and ladies, they embraced him. Even though now he was grown. He was a prince in Dwarka. Still, they saw him as their child. And they just smothered him with Vatsalya love. Embraced, and he embraced them, and to his elders he touched their feet. To his equals he embraced. To those who were junior to him, he gave his blessings. Everyone according to their particular relationship, he completely was trying to satisfy all their heart's desires. And they gave him a nice seat, nice prasad. They asked, how is Vasudev? How is Devaki? And how are all the Yadus? We are so happy that wicked, evil Kamsa has been killed. Must have been such a relief for all of the Yadu dynasty. And now you're living in that fortified island called Dwarka. We're hoping it's very safe and protected. And how is Krishna? Does he ever remember us? Will he ever come back to see us? In this way, there were beautiful exchanges between Balaram and then the gopis. They approached him in a secluded place and they revealed their hearts. Tell us, what is Krishna doing? He has stole our hearts. Is he now stealing other ladies' hearts? But after he gave us his promise that he would never leave us, he left us. But we're simple village ladies. Certainly the ladies of the cities will not fall for his tricks. But then again, his smile and his charm, who could possibly resist? Do you not see what he did? We left our fathers, our mothers, our brothers, our sisters, our husbands, our children, our homes. We abandoned our reputation. We gave up everything for Krishna. And Krishna told us he could not repay us with all that he owns and all that he has in an entire lifetime of Brahma. He gave us such encouragement. But then he left with the Krura for so many years. He's stolen our hearts. One gopi was saying, why are you talking like this? Why don't we just give up this talking and thinking about Krishna? What has he done for us? He's abandoned us. Let's forget about him. Another gopi said, that's a good idea, but there's a problem. It's impossible. We cannot forget about him. We cannot stop talking about him. We cannot stop longing for him. 24 hours a day at all times, we're hearing his laughter. We're experiencing his loving exchanges, his conversations, his glances and his sweet smiles. Will Krishna ever return? Will he ever give our life back to us? Balaram felt so deeply for the gopis and gopas of Vrindavan. He had some messages that he brought from Krishna. But not only that, but Srimad Bhagavatam explains that out of his compassion for the residents of Vrindavan, Balaramji, he accessed Krishna within his mind. Krishna directly, personally manifested in Balaram's mind, in his heart, just to pacify the gopis. And he made so many promises, that as soon as I go back to Dwarka, I will force Krishna to come back to Vrindavan. He must come back. He cannot keep you in this condition any longer. You have my word. Hare Krishna. And then every night, for the months of Madhu and Madhava, 2 months, Balaramji performed beautiful pastimes, the Raslila, with his own set of gopis on the bank of Yamuna, some distance away from Krishna's Rasalila Stan, in a place called Sri Ram Ghat, beautiful part of Braj Bhumi. How many of you have been to Sri Ram Ghat? Very secluded, very quiet, very holy place. There's no bazaars, there's no loudspeakers. It's very nice. Of course, everywhere else in Vrindavan is very nice too. So, every night for those 2 months, Balaramji was satisfying the innermost heart's desire of his gopis through pastimes of pure, selfless exchange of spiritual love. In order to render some special service, Varuna sent his daughter, Varuni, who is the goddess that presides over a very ambrosial beverage of her name, Varuni. It's not like the intoxications of this world, so don't take it as a justification. It was flowing profusely from the hollows of kadamba trees. Yes? And the fragrance just intoxicated the entire forest. Balaramji and the gopis smelled that fragrance, and it was just Varuni calling, come, come, come. And he went with the gopis, and they all drank to their satisfaction. They drank, and they drank, and they drank, and Balaram's eyes were rolling in ecstasy. As he was wandering through the forests, the kunjas, on the bank of Yamuna with his gopis, in the moonlight. And then he called Yamuna, Yamuna Devi, Come. We want to have water sports in you. But Yamuna was thinking, what kind of a request is this? People come to me to bathe. I don't go to them. This man is really intoxicated. So she didn't do anything. But Balaram wanted to teach her and the whole world that pleasing him is the ultimate purpose of everyone. And he feigned to be angry. He said, "Oh, wretched river, if you are not surrendering to my will, then you see what I will do." And he took his plow and lunged it in toward Yamuna and started dragging her and scraping her into various little rivulets and pulling her. Immediately, Yamuna understood who Balaram really was. And she came in her personified form as a goddess, an expansion of Kalindi Devi. And with folded palms and trembling, she surrendered to Balaramji. "Now, I am sorry. I am so ignorant. Now I understand that you are the supreme, all-powerful Lord of my life. I will do anything you say. Please forgive me." And Balaram was very happy. He said, "Yes, you are forgiven." And then he went in Yamuna, and Yamuna supplied all lotus flowers and just arranged the temperature perfectly, everything for Balaram and gopis to enjoy. And it is described that Balaram was enjoying with his gopis like a male elephant enjoys with many female elephants. Now, I've never seen that, but the Shastra says it, so we can understand that elephants are very auspicious in this way. And after enjoying through the night, he came out, and the goddess Kanti, who was Lakshmi Devi herself, had a beautiful garland of ever-fresh flowers extended below Balaram's knees and offered him cloth of brilliant blue color and ornaments and jewels. And in this way, Shukadeva Goswami tells that Balaramji enjoyed in the forests of Vrindavan for 2 months, but they were so intoxicated with love that their consciousness was beyond time. That 2 months seemed like not even one night. And the inhabitants of Vrindavan did not want Balaram to leave. But he had to return to Krishna in Dwarka. With great difficulty, he had to pull himself away from Vrijavasis. But the only way he was justified in his own heart to leave was to continue to promise them that he would bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. He returned to Dwarka, and he was telling Krishna about the love of the Brijbasis. And as he was explaining, Balaramji himself was weeping torrents of tears, and Krishna was weeping torrents of tears. Sometimes so choked up they just fell to the ground, unconscious, just remembering the love of the residents of Vrindavan. And Balaram was insisting to Krishna to go. And he said, I will go, but not now. Day after day, Krishna had his own plan. He understood that the love of the separation of the residents of Vrindavan was so high, Vipralamba Seva, it just doesn't get any higher. Even if he were to go to Vrindavan, it wouldn't increase their love. The flames of separation was ever increasing in their love. And he understood if he did go, if he left again, they would not survive. So So sometime later, when the demon Dantavakra challenged Krishna, just in the outskirts of Mathura, Krishna went there, killed Dantavakra, but then he went into Vrindavan and enjoyed with the Vrijavasis to their full heart's content. But he still had some more duties in Dwarka. So he brought all the residents of Vrindavan back to Goloka in the spiritual world, where he's living eternally. And then he returned to Vrindavan and went back to Dwarka. This is one of the beautiful pastimes of Lord Balaram. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat begins with this pastime. Toward the very beginning, Vrindavan Das Thakur cites Balaram's wonderful, wonderful loving pastimes in Vrindavan with the gopis. Why? To reveal the ultimate significance of Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy of saving the devotees' lives, saving the souls by giving them Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. As Balaram was always so anxious to save the devotees' lives by giving them remembrance of Krishna, service to Krishna, Nityananda Prabhu expanded that even to the most fallen conditioned souls. Bhaja gaurango, kaho gaurango, laho gaurango, namre, jejana gauranga bhaje, say hi, amaprane. Worship Gauranga, chant the names of Gauranga, speak about Gauranga. Do that and you become my life and soul. That was Nityananda Prabhu's mission in this world. Soon after that, we have to end soon. So I want Dinabandhu Prabhu. We will be very much bereft if Dinabandhu Prabhu does not give us some nectar about Lord Balaram from his eternal pastimes in Vrindavan Dham. Thank you very much.
Bolo Sri Dhauji Maharaj ki. So first of all, I want to thank His Holiness Radha Swami Maharaj for giving me a chance to render service to all of you. And I thank you for all of you coming here to honor Lord Balaram's appearance day. So I wanted to sing a little song because, see, in India, the older brother, he's called Dhau. Therefore, we call Lord Balaram Dhauji. And his little brother is Kanhaiya. Yeah? So this is a very beautiful song with both Dhauji and Kanhaiya's names.
Pakarenge Naiya Re Bajo Krishna Kanhaiya. Pakarenge Naiya Re Bajo Krishna Kanhaiya.
Par means cross over. Just like if you go to Delhi, on the other side of the Jamuna, they call it Par Delhi. That's on the other side, Par Jamuna. That's the other side of Delhi, on the other side of the river. So Par Karenge Nayare. Nayare is the boatman. And what is our boat? The holy names of Krishna Kaneya, Dauji Kabaya.
Par Karenge Nayare Bajo Krishna Kaneya. 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 Krishna Kaneya. Krishna Kaneya. Dauji Kabaiya. Krishna Kaneya. Bolo Dauji Kabaiya. Par Karenge Naiya Re Bajo Krishna Kaneya. Par Karenge Naiya Re Bajo Krishna Kaneya. Krishna Kaneya. Dauji Kabaiya. Krishna Kaneya. Dauji Kabaiya. Bansi Bajaiya. Bansi Bajaiya. Makana Chureya. Makana Chureya. Gaua Chareya. Gaya Chareya. Giribaru Deya. Oh, Giribaru Deya. Rasa Rateya. Oh, Rasa Rateya. Par Karenge Naiya Re Bajo Krishna Kaneya. Par Karenge Naiya Re Bajo Krishna Kaneya.
Dauji Maharaj ki. Bolo Krishna Kaneya Lal ki. Hare Krishna. So today we're celebrating the holy appearance day of Sri Baladev Prabhu. If I would have known I was talking, I would have brought some nice things. I have a Balaram Stotra and other nice things. Anyway, there's one very beautiful verse that describes Lord Balaram. Because we heard this morning that Lord Balaram, he's non-different from Krishna. He's the first expansion, only difference in color and some weapons. So Krishna is Shyam Sundar, Balaram is completely white. So there's one verse that describes Lord Balaram. Shankha Kunindu Svairanga Baladev Prabhu. Shankha, you all know Shankha, right? And what color is Shankha? Kunda. Now you don't know Kunda, but well, you know Kun, but not, this is Kunda, this is a different thing. Because in the summertime, just like there's so many nice decorations on Radhasham Sundar with beautiful jasmine flowers, bogra. But they come in the summertime. In the wintertime, another beautiful flower comes called Kunda, who's also very, very beautifully white. Because now the jasmine flowers are finished, so the Kunda comes. Shankha Kund Indu. Anybody knows the meaning of Indu? Indu means moon, another name for moon. Shankha Kunindu Swet. Sweta means just like Sweta Dweep, white. And Anga, all his limbs are white. Shankha Kunindu Swetanga Baladev Prabhu Ki Jai. So as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we're celebrating this appearance of Lord Baladev on this Shravan Purnima. Although if you come to Braj, you'll see that on that same day that we celebrate as the appearance day of Ladita Sakhi, the Sasti, the sixth day, the Brijbasis is called Baladev Chat. They celebrate on that day. But Jiva Goswami, accepting Srimad Bhagavatam as the Maharaj Chakravarti Raja of Pramans, he points out that if Baladev is born after Krishna, that means it's a 1 year and several days before Krishna appears. But he says in Srimad Bhagavatam, it describes they both had their name-giving ceremony together. They both began crawling together. They both took their first step. Maharaj so nicely described how they're taking their first steps together. Everything they did together. And using various other pramans and pointing out that Balaram is actually born on Shravan Nakshatra. And Shravan Nakshatra only appears today when there's full moon in the constellation of Shravan, Nakshatra of Shravan. So we're celebrating on this Shravan Purnima. So Krishna appears just 8 days later. Next month is coming Bhadra. And on the Krishna Paksh, Krishnastami, Janmastami, 8 days later, Balaram appears. So his color is white. Difference in weapons. He's carrying a plow and a club. But not like a club like we know. In fact, now by the grace of Bhakti Vishramba Madhava Maharaj, we used to have a Duryodhan club, but now they melted it down and made a musal, because we don't have any words in English. If I tell you a musal, you won't know what I'm talking about. So we say club, no other word. But a musal is a very special piece of wood that's very big, and it's got the end of it is rounded, and then it comes up very thick, and there's a little place where you put your hand like this, and then it becomes thick again. And with this musal, what do? They make a hole in the ground, a little depression like this, and with baked hard mud. Then they put the rice inside that depression, and then they smash it with this musal. What happens? All the husk is broken off from the rice. Because the rice comes encased in little husk. And that husk is very terrible. I tried. When we're on Braj Pikam in Karti, there's many rice fields. And I thought, you know, because sometimes you pull up the wheat and just eat the wheat raw, you know, it's really nice. So I tried the rice, but there's no way to get that husk off. So I bit it, but that husk has got little edges, you know, and it gets stuck inside your throat and it's terrible. You have to break off that husk. You can't eat it raw like the wheat. So husk means it is useless. We want the rice. A husk is useless. Useless means anart. Just like, you know, arta arti, you know, we want wealth. Arta arti. Krishna says four types of people approach me. So art means useful thing. But anart, useless thing. So that is the guru's business to smash away all the anartas. Therefore, Lord Balaram, he's got this muscle for smashing away all those anartas. Just like we heard all about killing of this Denukasura. And it's very interesting, because living in Braj for so long, I've noticed that in the summertime, the wind always blows from the west. And as soon as the rainy season comes, the wind blows from the east. Has anybody seen a tall tree? Not a tall tree. You have many tall trees here, but I'm talking about a tall tree. Unfortunately, our artists, many, many years ago, they didn't know what a tall tree. They drew it like a date palm, you know, with little fronds like this. But actually, it's like more like the palmetto trees we have in South Florida, you know, sort of like a fan. The leaves are shaped like a fan like this, you know, rather than like a date palm. And then it gets so many fruits. They're beautiful, purple, like barrel-shaped eggplants. Then gradually as they ripen, when the rainy season comes, they ripen. And they turn bright orange with little purplish highlights. Because that purple disappears as they turn orange. They have little purple highlights. And there are just tons and tons of them growing on the tree, hanging down from the tree. And they're very, very, very sweet. Like mango. They're very stringy. Usually we make juice out of them. Like one time we came to Talavan. There's only two trees left in Talavan. But Priyasaran Goswami, who's nice Baba who's staying there, Priyasaran Baba, as soon as we came, he saw me. He sent one of his men go up there, and he got down one of the. There was one ripe tall fruit left, and he had to make it into juice. And everybody was bumping out all their bisleri water and filling up their bottles with tall juice and drinking tall juice. So it describes that the cowherd boys, they were smelling the fragrance of the tall fruits. So I estimated they must have been on the western side because it comes in the rainy season, the wind blows from the east, so they could only have been on the western side. And now Mahanidhi Swami has published this Sarata Darshani, this Tipika. Tika of Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur, and in connection with that pastime, he describes that in the rainy season, the wind blows from the east, so the cowherd boys were on the western side. So, cowherd boys were on the western side, just like I speculated, but I got confirmation of my speculation. And they smelled those beautiful tall fruits. So we heard how this Denukasura, he was actually, he was a son of Birochan, who was a son of Prahlad Maharaj. And Lord Nrisingadev had promised he would never kill any of Prahlad's descendants. Therefore, Balaram had to kill him. And Sahasik, he was enjoying with so many 10,000 girls in the forest, just happened to be where Durvas Muni was meditating. So he became very angry. He said, "You ass-like man, you become an ass." And after 4 lakhs of years, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will come and liberate you from this ass-like condition. So he became an ass. Ass represents this foolish materialistic mentality. So like we hear all about the asses, but when you go to India, we read in Prabhupada's books and we hear about them. When you go to India, you can actually see them. Carrying bricks, carrying sand, carrying laundry, carrying so many things on their back. And they're not even carrying their own burdens. They're carrying burdens for somebody else. And at the end of their day, what do? They feed them a little grass. Now he's walking through the grass all day long. But he's thinking, if I don't work hard, how I can eat grass? This is the foolish materialist. If I don't work hard, how will I get any grass? And this ass, he has very strange feature. He becomes very fat in the hot season when everybody else is suffering and skinny. And in the rainy season when everybody else gets fatty, he becomes very skinny. Therefore, that hot season, that is called Baisakh Nandan. That month, 2 months after Mayapur festival, that is called Baisakh. That's just when the heat turns on. You think it's hot here? Oh, it gets very hot. 120 and beyond. So, you can imagine such heat, grass is very rare, only a little bit here and there, and the ass is eating and eating, and he walks a little ways, and he finds a little more, he walks a little more, and he looks back, and he's walked for kilometers and kilometers. And he looks back, he says, "I walked so far, I must have eaten so much grass." And he becomes very happy. And we see sometimes happy people, they become a little fat, you know. And then rainy season comes and grass is everywhere. And he eats and eats. He stands in one place and eats. And he looks back. He says, I didn't go anywhere. How did I eat today? And then he eats some more and he looks back. I didn't go anywhere. And he becomes worried. And we see worried people, they become very skinny and sickly. He becomes very skinny and sickly. This is the ass. So we don't want to become that guru, this anart. He's there to kick out this anart of ignorance from our hearts. With this Lord Balaram, he's got this muscle. So spiritual master, as we've been describing, he's the representative of Baladev. Other weapon he has is plow. And I see in Vrindavan, just near Vrindakun, all around, they grow rice. So I see all the farmers themselves, they come with their... Because it's the end of the summer, the ground is very hard. It's been 127 degree heat has baked it. So what they come with their big plows. And they plow up the earth. Because unless they plow up the earth, that rice isn't going to grow. They do that themselves, because that's the hardest part. That's the hardest part. Then after they hire some guys come from Rajasthan, but there's no rice at all. But anyway, they say someday you have to feed yourself, you learn things, you know. That's what they told me. So you don't have any rice there. So we learn, we got to fill the belly. So they come pushing, that's easy, just pushing the plants into the ground. They just beep, 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 beep. They just walk all day around. This hired labor does all this. But the farmer himself, he comes with a big plow. That's the hardest part. So Prabhupada, he came with his big plow and he plowed up the whole world. Nobody could even imagine. Who could imagine preaching to these mlechas and yavanas who eat meat every day? No conception. I heard the word Krishna, but I didn't know it was a who. I thought it was a what. We used to chant Hare Krishna. I didn't know even what was a who. What to speak of what it was or who it is. Prabhupada, he plowed up the whole world and made a fertile ground. We're just the little hired laborers coming behind and putting the little plants and harvesting the rice. You know, but the hard part, that is done by the guru. So we're just little hired laborers. We're nothing. Maybe you think I'm a very big, big devotee. We're just a little hired laborer. Prabhupada, he plowed up the whole earth and made it fertile for this Krishna consciousness to take root. He's the full manifestation of Baladev and Nityananda Prabhu. And even in Gaudiya Math, they have to admit, we're just going through the same holes that Swamiji made. They couldn't come here and do it. So we're just going through the same holes, the tunnels. Prabhupada, with the full mercy of Baladev, he plowed up the whole world. Now all of us, we're just coming, you know, just like you're all sitting here, not because of me, because of Prabhupada. I didn't do anything for you. Prabhupada did everything for us. He plowed up the whole world. As the full manifestation of Lord Balaram and the full manifestation of Lord Nityananda's mercy. So they're sending me notes that we have to have a static arti. So I took a little bit extra time. I hope you'll excuse me. Bolo Sri Dauji Maharaj Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, and good evening to everyone. Haribo. Balaramji ki jai. So I have just a couple of quick things before the ecstatic arti begins. First and foremost, we would humbly like to express our gratitude to the sponsors of the Balaram feast, and that is Anil, Vidya, Arvind, and their new addition, Gopal. Haribo. If Anil's here or Vidya, we have a nice little prasadam cake for you. So come. While they're coming up here, there's a little story about Prabhupada. I don't know if you know this story. We're talking about Balaram, the head of Guru Tattva. Prabhupada wanted his Bhagavad Gita published. So he asked Allen Ginsberg, please get this Bhagavad Gita published for me. And he asked Rai Ram, his disciple,